anybody can be beat.
You're listening to the Brandon Dowling Show on Jet Nation Radio. Now here is your host, Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets.
And you are listening to another edition of the Brandon Dowling Show. I am Brandon Dowling, and we have a fantastic show for you tonight as we will be joined by Metro's own Christian Dyer, also Jet Nation's own Glenn Naughton, to talk about what is the 2015 New York Jets training camp. So much going on, so much happening right now in the world of the New York Jets. Obviously, you've had the topics with the wide receiver, the battling for the last position. You have Geno Smith and him looking sharp early on in camp. There are so many different topics of discussion. I mean, the one black eye on this season so far before it's even started, of course, is the Sheldon Richardson nonsense. First off, I want to thank Glenn last week for coming on and filling in for me on the show. Had some personal stuff going on, so I was not able to get on the show. Always hurts when I'm not able to get on, especially during a week like this. So he did a fantastic job and keeps up doing great work for Jet Nation week in and week out. Last week, I missed the Sheldon Richardson nonsense. I mean, it's so embarrassing. Honestly, it's such an embarrassment to the Jets. It's an embarrassment to the fan base. It's an embarrassment to the league. I mean, you're not going to see Sheldon Richardson on the field for a long time. Who knows if you'll ever see Sheldon Richardson on the field for the Jets ever again. You know, this is a new GM and a new coach, so you have no idea what type of mindset they're going to have against this. You don't. I mean, as for the football side of things, so much to look at. Obviously, Geno Smith. I don't know if anybody was able to tune in to Boomer and Carton this morning. They were actually live at Jets training camp on FAN, and they did an interview with Brandon Marshall today. And you know, Brandon Marshall has had his issues with calling out quarterbacks and having issues with quarterbacks and just issues being an all-around good teammate. And Brandon Marshall had nothing but amazingly good things to say about Geno. You know what's interesting is you really haven't heard any players come out and say anything negative about Geno Smith. And it's not because they have to. I mean, we've seen players come out and talk bad about other players and not give them vote of confidence. Brandon Marshall thinks that Geno Smith could be the best quarterback he's ever had. He said that on the air today. He said that Geno Smith has the ability to make all of the throws, make all the plays, and if he puts it together, he could be a great player. So I think that overall, you have to like what you're hearing from the team. You have to like what you're seeing, obviously, in training camp from Geno Smith. If everybody rallies around him and says, you know what, this is our guy, this is our quarterback, he's the man, he looks sharp, it's time for Geno Smith to carry this into the season. You know, we haven't even got to a preseason game yet, and we're sitting here just like we were last year, talking about how, you know, Geno Smith looks light years away of where he did last year. That's what we're sitting here talking about. Now it's time for him to go out and prove it. Because nobody wants to hear how well Geno Smith is doing in training camp. Nobody wants to hear how well Geno Smith is doing in practice. Nobody wants to hear Geno Smith go off about how good he is and how he's trying to improve and how every day you're going to try and get better. That's not what the fans want to hear. The fans don't want to hear anything anymore. The fans want to see Geno Smith go out and perform on Sundays. And based off what you've heard from the Jets and their players, you have to feel a little bit more at ease with Geno Smith than you did maybe a month ago. You know, for guys to come out and give him a vote of confidence, don't think they're just doing that to, you know, because he's their teammate. They're doing that for a reason. Call line is open tonight, 646-716-4697. Would love to hear your thoughts. Another thing that I thought was interesting, if you did get a chance to tune in to Boomer and Carton this morning on FAN, was the Darrell Revis interview with him. And, you know, they asked him some really great questions, you know, the point blank, straight up, you know, asking Darrelle Revis, you know, what happened over the course when you left here? What happened? You know, why didn't you come back? Basically saying that the organization didn't allow it. Stated he made a call to the Jets, which is all public knowledge. We know most of it. But it was fascinating to hear him go into it and then talk about the defense and talk about how he thinks that this defense could be better than the defenses that he played in before with the Jets. Damon Harrison also in an interview talking about the change of defense and the difference in his role from when he was obviously playing under Rex Ryan, says that this defense is more of an attack. This is a defense that attacks and gets and makes big plays with big risks. We got caller on the line is Big Chi, who wants to talk about Geno Smith. Big Chi, you are live on Jet Nation Radio. Go ahead.
All right, what's going on, fellas? And beyond Geno, I want to thank you guys. I think today with First Take and the ESPN Talking Point crew, you see there's a clear divide between what the national media says about the Jets, you know, and it's put it this way, for the national media, it's important to be out in front and have their talking points, you know, be something that they should say is true. And then there's reality of you guys and all, you know, turn on the Jets and all you other, all you guys who are on the front lines, who are in the building every day and who actually see the progress and tell the real story. So I want to give you guys props first and foremost, you know, pat you guys.
You appreciate that.
I mean, you really don't understand. You guys are saviors for a lot of us real Jets fans. But back to Geno, I think you guys, one of the few people who touched on it last year, when Brian Winters was removed off the offensive line and we finally had some weapons, it looked to me that something clicked with Geno. I know people say it's only the last four games of the season. It doesn't matter. Listen, if you're playing for an NFL job, football is not the type of, I played at football at Oklahoma University. Football is not the type of sport that you play just for the sake of it. You know, you don't go through the motions playing football, you know, and he looked like it clicked with him. And right now, seeing what they're doing at Jet Camp and hearing all, you know, all the good reviews that we're hearing. I mean, Mike Westhoff, out of all people, gave Geno props. And, you know, Mike doesn't, that's a hard nut to crack right there. You know, and Ray Lucas was giving him props. You know, I'm just really looking forward to this season. And I just really want, you know, I see good things happening. I mean, it should be a little bit tempered, of course. You know, Geno still is the third youngest quarterback in the NFL, and people seem to forget that as well. But, you know, we've had to live with Stephen Hill, Clyde Gates, you know, Santonio Holmes and his dysfunctional ways, and, you know, David Nelson. I mean, you could be at Jets games and you see somebody who comes out of a jersey and be like, who is that? I mean, that was Greg Salas, I think week nine or something. Everyone in the stands like, who is this guy? Now there's some hopefully there'll be some continuity. Hopefully we have some weapons around him, and I'm just looking forward to the season ahead.
Well, you know something? You touched on some good points, and I understand where you're coming from. But like I said before, and like I will continue to say about Geno Smith until we see week one, the Jet fan doesn't want to hear any more about Geno Smith improving in training camp. They don't want to hear about Geno Smith improving in training camp. They don't want to hear about Geno Smith improving in practice. The majority of the Jet fans, and this is not including myself, this is the majority of the fans, the Jet fan base is very impatient for many different reasons. You could go back 30 years if you want to bring up the reasons why the Jet fan base is impatient.
Oh, yes.
As soon as somebody makes a mistake, they're calling for the next guy. The most popular guy on the New York Jets year in and year out is the backup quarterback. Why? Mm-hmm. Because if the starting quarterback doesn't perform, the fans are chanting for the backup. So mm-hmm. I think the Jet fans are so fed up with the way that last season transpired with Geno Smith that – you have a group of Jet fans that say, you know what, this guy's still young. Let's still, you know, believe in him. Let's see what he can do going into the last year of his contract. Let's make him earn the right to play here. You know, let's see what he can do. Then you have the middle of the road fans who are like, you know what, I really don't have any confidence in him, but who else are you going to play at the quarterback position? And then you have the majority of the fans who want nothing more to do with Geno Smith, but understand that there's really not a lot of options out there. You know, mm-hmm. I heard something on the radio again today stating, you know, I was again on Boomer Carton this morning, it's my third reference to them today, that they would trade every other starting quarterback with every team in the league with Geno Smith, that they would take all 31. I mean, I don't believe that. See, I'm not a person like that. I'm not somebody who, you know, if I'm looking at it from the point of view, I'm not taking Josh McCown or Matt Cassel over Geno Smith. That's not a football belief of mine. But the Jet fan wants to see Geno Smith perform on Sundays. If this training camp transforms Geno Smith into a not good, see, the Jet fan doesn't even want Geno Smith to be good. They want Geno Smith to be average so that you can have a product on the field that you can watch win football games. If Geno Smith wins football games, the Jet fan, it's like the seventh time I've said the Jet fan, will love him, okay? The group of fans will love him. And that's why I say it time and time again. You know, it's Geno Smith has to either step up or shut up this year because it's all on him. And like said before, there's no pressure on him. Because guess what? When everybody expects you to fail, that's when you put your head down and you prove everybody wrong. And if he can do that, great. It's all it's going to do is make the fans happy, and it's going to make him happy. And that's what he has to do. Because if other than that, it's going to be a very bad exit for Geno Smith if he doesn't perform on Sundays. All of this stuff means nothing unless he performs on Sundays.
While I agree, the difference here is he wasn't practicing against this Jets defense.
I get what you're saying. I love the name, by the way. I could go with Big Chi all day. You know, I understand what you're saying with the practice against this defense, and I get it. And I'm with you. You're going against Revis, Cromartie, and Screen. You're great. But like Allen Iverson famously said, we're talking about practice, man. We're not talking about a game. We're talking about practice. That's what we're talking about. Not a game. Practice. I don't care about practice. I don't. I want to see this. Because last year, they said Geno Smith was light years ahead. That was the term that everybody used. He's light years ahead of where he was last year. And what did it transform to? It transformed to one of the worst years that we've seen as Jet fans. So all is good. You know, keep going in training camp. Keep getting better. Learn a new offense. Listen, if you're going against Revis and Cromartie, you're facing the best of the best. I get it. But if it doesn't add up and show on Sundays, who cares?
You're right. Question. Have you guys heard anything about Evan Mathis? Like, is there any movement on that?
I really haven't heard anything in regards to him. In my opinion, this is not, you know, to answer your question, no. But there really hasn't been a lot of movement from any teams in regards to Mathis. I mean, he's been out there for a little while now. So, I mean, I don't know if there's a hesitation among the Jets or among all the other teams. But, no, I have not heard anything. I think this might be a type of situation where you don't see a guy maybe sign after preseason when you see the, you know, guys start getting injured and players start falling down.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, listen.
That's the type of player you can.
It's great, you know, talking to you guys. You know, I'm going to keep you guys on my phone all the time, man. And I'm looking forward to the season, man.
I'm looking forward to it too. When we talk and everybody talks together, people might not agree or disagree, but we all want the same result, and that's a win for the Jets. So good talking to you, man. And that was Big Chi on Jet Nation Radio. Let's go to Josh. Josh, you're live on the Brandon Dowling Show. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing, man?
What's going on, Josh? How are you?
I'm all right. I want to talk about Geno Smith. I talked about him last week, and I actually see something in him, like, I believe he got a good coach that could actually teach him along the way what weapon this time. I think he actually get to learn more than he have with Rex Ryan and company. I actually really, once again, it's still practice. And you have to look at it on the flip side. these wide receivers is getting their share in the practice as well to get better. It's all about getting better in preseason before the game gets started anyway. And I just I like what I'm seeing, and I like what I'm seeing of him actually stepping up and trying to be a leader among men. Last year, right. Yeah, he was something else. But, you know, the new fresh season is Madden season. It's just like Madden. You got fresh season, and you can do whatever you want. It's you know, right. What guys you going to use? Back to that, your wide receiver, that's your guys. You got weapons now. So it's up to him. At the end of the day, always going to be up to him. But I like the process that I'm seeing. What do you think about that?
I think you're right. I think you have to like the progress you're seeing of Geno Smith. If there's any progress made, you have to, there's nothing not to like. But I'll keep saying it, and I'll say it over and over again. It's like it's almost like Groundhog Day, the last training camp. You know, where you're it's like the same thing, same story. I get it. I think it's great, and this could really be the turnaround for Geno Smith. I'm not trying to sound negative. I'm not trying to sound like someone who's, you know, dampering any progress that he's made, but
you
guess
just
what?
Won the one.
I just want to see results on the field. That's when I'll be a believer of progress made. You're not going to get a true test. You're not going to get a true vision of the progress Geno Smith has made until you see him against the Cleveland Browns week one. Then you can say to yourself, okay, what type of progress did he make from last year to this year? Because training camp is great, man. Training camp is great. You're going against these guys on the defense. I'm with you. I think it's fantastic. I think there's a lot to be excited for with this team for the Jets. But when we're talking about Geno Smith, you know, until you show it to me, until you show it to me once, I'm not going to sit here and say, wow, I'm really excited that Geno's how the progress Geno Smith has made. He's really going to be a good player for this team. I'm really ready for him to go and get after week one. I don't think any Jet fan is in that state of mind.
Yep. I agree with you. Yep. I actually do agree with you on that one. And, you know, it's one. I want to shout out to all Jet fans when I say this. All Jet fans, it's time for the culture change. Let's not do the booing until third week. I would say fourth week, third week. It's time for a culture change. No more fighting upon other Jets fans. Let's actually see this team, see what our new GM and head coach put together, and let's change our culture and be happy. And, you know, the real enemies is who we see every Sunday or, you know, any game.
I'll give you till the third play. For booze there. Not the third game. I'll go with the third play of the first game because, like I said, man, it's going to be a short leash for Geno Smith. The team is not going to put up with a lot of turnovers. The fans are not going to put up with a lot of turnovers. The amount of money that the Jets spent, you know, Geno Smith is going to have to take this job and run with it. Otherwise, you know, you're not going to see Geno Smith really anymore with the New York Jets. It's really
say this way, I'm 50% confident in Geno Smith. I only say that because of his track record. What I'm trying to say is, for some reason, with this offensive coordinator that we have, he's good with making average quarterback into something. And I feel like Geno Smith, he's in a right spot right now. Than he's been in his career because, hey, he's still a three-year vet now, right? So I'm just saying the third game I'm giving, because he doesn't make plays. He got the receivers to do so, but I want the end result. What have he learned? If he have, like, five interceptions and, like, two games, okay, bring him up.
Let me ask you a question. Yep. Going on week one of the season, first game,
yep.
Jet Brown.
First game.
Who has the better quarterback?
I said the Jets.
Okay. Is there any reason whatsoever that the Jets should not win, barring any injuries on paper right now, is there any reason whatsoever that the Jets should not win the first game of the year against the Cleveland Browns at home?
I hate to say it, the booze might just come, but three games. Right. I'm saying Geno Smith. That's the reason
why. You didn't answer my question. First game of the year. Cleveland Browns at home. Is that a game that the Jets should 100% win? No excuses.
No excuses. If we lose, I have to say Geno Smith.
And then what happens? And then if you lose week one to the Cleveland Browns, what's going to happen the next week? It's going to be a roller coaster. That's why training camp is all fine and good. Training camp is good to improve.
Yeah.
You're learning a new offense. I get it.
I get exactly what you're saying.
The result. Show me the results because the way the Jets start the year, it's not like last year, okay? The Jets went through a murderous row last year, and thanks for the call, Josh. You know, they went through a murderous row last year, and now they're coming into a season where your schedule is not as difficult as we've seen it before. Your schedule is not, you know, horrible. There are some tough games in there like every year, but the Jets can get off to a decent start this year. And in order to do that, you're going to need your quarterback to play. You're going to need your quarterback not to cost you games. You're going to need your quarterback to make plays and get you into a position. You know, if you lose week one to the Browns, everybody is going to be like, wow, you know, everybody's going to be disappointed a lot more than they should be for a week one loss. Yes, you're 0-1. Yes, you start the year. But guess what? That's a game you're going to be favored in. That's a game. When you look at the Jets schedule, we're going to pull it up right now, okay? We're going to go behind the scenes here on the glass. Pulling up the New York Jets schedule. Let's look at the games that the New York Jets will be favorites in as it stands right now. Again, subjects change. You start the year 7-0, you're going to be favorites in a lot more games than you are right now, okay? First game of the year against the Browns. You know what? I'm bringing an outside help here. We're going to bring Nick Lucarelli in, the producer. Nick, you're live. Can you hear me?
What's up, man?
All right. So let's go through this. Are you ready? Because
I
want to bring a little insight to this, okay? Let's go through the Jets schedule. Let's do it together, okay? First game of the year against the Browns. Do you agree? Favorites. The Jets will be favored.
Jets will be favored by 4 points.
Okay, well, let's not get specific here, Mr. Morgana.
Okay.
Let's go with favored or underdog, okay? So counting, that's one.
All right.
Okay, Browns, favored. At the Colts, you're underdogs in that game on Monday Night Football.
Absolutely.
Home against the Eagles.
Again, right now on paper, you got to think they're a slight underdog.
Underdog, okay? At the Miami Dolphins.
I mean, I think we're going to be underdogs, but I think we're going to be stupid to be underdogs.
Okay, so let's do that again. I'm with you. I agree. Home against the Redskins, favorites.
You got to be favorites, yeah.
At New England, underdogs.
Yep.
At Oakland, we'll go with favorites.
I hope so, yeah.
It's going to be close, okay, but we'll give it to the Jets. Home against the Jaguars, favorites.
If we're not favorites, it's a problem.
Right. Home against the Bills, Thursday Night Football, favorites.
Yep.
At the Houston Texans, that'll be a toss-up. Let's say underdog.
Yeah, underdog.
Home against the Dolphins, I'm going to go with favorite. We'll give it six. At the Giants, could be a toss-up. I'm going to go with underdog.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Home against the Titans, I'm going to go with favorite.
Yep.
At the Cowboys, I'm going to go with underdog.
You got to be.
Home against the Patriots, I'm still going to go with underdog.
Yep.
And at the Bills, last game of the year, I'm going to go underdog. I don't know what you're going to choose.
I mean, at that point, just because it's so tough to play in Buffalo, you got to go underdog.
Right. So that's seven games that we agreed on the Jets will be favored in.
Yeah, I mean, and the Browns, like you said, is definitely the one where it could be getting to a touchdown favorite, depending on how things stay the way they are. But, yeah, so
right.
Browns has got it. You got to win week one.
Exactly. So when you look at it from this point of view, and of course, it's always a pleasure bringing Nick on in here. When you look at it from that point of view, that's just how important these games are. So when you look at the list and you look at the teams, 7 games the Jets will be favored in. Probably. Obviously, everything's subject to change. If you lose one of the games that you're supposed to be, that you're supposed to win, that you're going to be the favorite to win, all it does is make your season that much tougher. And all that does is make the first game of the year against the Browns that much more important. You think week one doesn't matter? When you play a team like that, it always matters. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to dive into some more training camp talk. It's also, we'll be joined by Christian Dyer from Metro. Back after this. You're listening to Jet Nation Radio.
Are you a business trying to get the word out about your goods? Or an organization seeking to make the world a better place? Or a band promoting a new tour or debut EP? How do you keep up with the ever-evolving world of social media? Craft your message and make sure it gets to the right people. The answer is the Strategic Peacock. The Strategic Peacock takes pride in helping organizations create and implement online strategies that appropriately target the right audience with the right information using the right media. From mobile to multimedia, the Strategic Peacock will enhance your online presence. Visit strategicpeacock.com to develop the right web strategies for success.
Hi, I'm Allie, and I'm here to talk about a serious problem. Your children are listening to bad music. They go home, turn on the radio, and get down with their bad selves. You think it's harmless. You think it's just them being a teenager. You're wrong. Nothing is as harmful or addictive as bad music. Soon your kids will start thinking bad music is good, and the world will be filled with only bad music. So talk to your children about the dangers of bad music and tell them about the cure, Indie Outbreak. Indie Outbreak features a huge selection of great indie artists fighting against the bad music plague. Good music to save their minds. Join with us at IndieOutbreak.com, and together we can help stop the spread of bad music.
New music.
Are you an independent artist? Do you struggle with getting music out there without burning a hole in your pocket? The Indie Outbreak is the perfect radio show for you. Broadcasted around the world, heard by thousands of incredible fans, always on demand. You can be too. Interested in being part of the outbreak? Go to IndieOutbreak.com and click the Submit tab for details. Be part of the epidemic sweeping over the world. Indie Outbreak. IndieOutbreak.com.
Amazing.
Anybody can be beat!
You're listening to the Brandon Dowling Show on Jet Nation Radio. Now here is your host, Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets!
And we are back off the break here on the Brandon Dowling Show on Jet Nation Radio. So let's talk wide receivers. Now, I know everybody likes to talk about, you know, the big guys and everything along, you know, the ones and two slots. But my question of the night is, and I want to hear from everybody out there. Call line is open, 646-716-4697. So probably the best wide receiving core that the Jet fan has seen of recent is the Santonio Holmes, Jericho Cotchery, and Braylon Edwards. Going to the playoffs, good wide receiving core. Everybody was pumped up about the wide receiving group that the Jets had. In my opinion, I think this wide receiving core could be better than the Holmes, Edwards, Cotchery group. And when I say that, I just mean the top three. I think that Marshall, Decker, and Curley, throw in Smith, and then you see who's going to be that fifth wide receiving spot. I'm not even worried about the thing. I'm worried about the five wide receivers. I think that this Jets wide receiving crew could be one of the best that they've had in a very long time. Because you've got wide receivers like Eric Decker and Brandon Marshall who will put up numbers and will make plays even with a quarterback who might not be able to get them the ball as another quarterback would. That's why you need these types of guys. That Brandon Marshall, it doesn't matter who's throwing him the ball. He'll make the catches. He'll put up numbers. He'll make plays. Eric Decker, you saw that last year. You saw the way he played. He had a lot of signs of being a dominant wide receiver. Had a good first year with the Jets in a horrible, horrible situation and a horrible season. That's why you say to yourself, okay, if Geno Smith can be somewhat average and not force the ball and make some plays, what does that mean for this team? What does that mean for this offense? And when you look at this wide receiving core, you have to say to yourself, wow, you know, the Jets have weapons in the air. You've got Decker. You've got Marshall. You've got Curley. You've got Smith. You've got Amaro. If a quarterback can't put up decent numbers with those guys, he's doing it wrong. He's doing it wrong, and he's not a quarterback that should be playing in the National Football League. Because this is probably the most loaded I've seen a Jets offense in terms of wide receivers and running backs, and even a tight end, in a long time. I mean, you switch to the other side of the ball, and you look at this defense. I mean, there's not much more that you can say than they're expected to be dominant. Again, you heard this morning on Boomer and Carton from Brandon Marshall. He actually talked about how he's looking at his body language, and he's really taking a hard look at himself because he came out on practice, I believe it was either yesterday or the day before, and went up against Darrell Revis, and Darrell Revis shut him down. He was talking about how he couldn't do anything. And, you know, he even came out and said, he gave his teammate high praise and said Darrell Revis is the best ever, and then said ever again. So you're looking at this, and you're saying to yourself, wow, if Darrell Revis is good already, how good is he going to be, you know, obviously when the season starts? In my mind, this defense is definitely a top five, if not the best defense in football. And I understand what people are saying with, well, if Geno's playing this defense practice, he should do really well against other defenses in the league. I get it, but you also have to remember that this is not game speed. It's still training camp. It's still practice. This Saturday is the green and white scrimmage, which is going to tell you a lot for where you are right now. I think it's awesome that the Jets are doing it at MetLife Stadium. I will be in attendance. A lot of people from JetNation.com will be in attendance. You can still get your tickets for free on NewYorkJets.com, and the gates do open up at 5 o'clock. So there's so much going on at training now. I also want to give a big kudos to Todd Bowles, because Todd Bowles has done a good job so far in dealing with what is his first major distraction, and that's Sheldon Richardson. You know, for what Sheldon Richardson did and for what he's already put his first-year head coach into, it's disgraceful in itself. But Todd Bowles has not let it affect his team. He's not let it get out crazy in the media. You're not hearing a lot of negative perception on the Jets locker room. I mean, this is an immediate fire starter. Oh, Todd Bowles can't control his players already. His top defense, one of his top defenses players is getting into trouble. He can't control a locker room. He doesn't know. He doesn't have what it takes to be. I mean, they will jump down your throat for anything, especially something like this. So the fact that he's done a good job in defusing the situation, but not letting it spiral out of control shows a lot of mind ahead. If this was Rex Ryan still here, and this was another training camp with Rex as the head coach of the team, this story would have had a lot more legs than it did. It just seems that there's a different perception about the Jets already. And that's a big-time kudos to Todd Bowles because he hasn't even been there for a regular season yet. It seems that it's more low-key. It's more quiet. You're not getting the huge media perception that we've gotten in the past. And, you know, maybe that's what the Jets need. Maybe that's what the Jets need to take the next step at the level of the team. Because this team has shown signs of being mature, especially when they were going to the playoffs. Maybe that's what they need to get back in order to take that next step and be a good football team. You know, when you look at the situation with Sheldon Richardson, it's very unfortunate because you're looking at a guy who is supposed to be a leader of this team. And what is his response to being a leader? You know, you come out and you say, well, I'm not a doper. I'm not this. And then you go out, you know, an hour later and you get arrested. You know, it's unacceptable to say that in the least way. And Todd Bowles has done a good job not making it about his team. Another notes from the training camp of the New York Jets 2015, you know, on obviously Geno Smith has played well so far, and that's been the topic of discussion among a lot of Jet fans. But we've also heard that Bryce Petty is throwing the ball well. We've heard a lot of good things. You know, Brandon Marshall, again, I keep going back to his interview this morning, but he talked about how he thinks all the quarterbacks on this team are throwing the ball well, and he thinks that they have a good group behind center. I mean, that's great from a wide receiver. Again, it's going to have to transpire on the field first before anybody truly believes that. So I thought that was very interesting. You know, the Cromartie comments. Here's the thing that I have about Antonio Cromartie. I love Antonio Cromartie. I do. I think he's a great player. I think he's a great New York Jet. I think he's a great cornerback, and I am ecstatic that he's back with the Jets. But he's got to do one thing. He's got to shut up. He has more comments about other people's business than I don't know. Any other player. There are a lot of players in this league that have a big mouth. He's one of them. There is no need for him to come out and weigh in on Deflategate the way he did and talk about Tom Brady and then completely bash the commissioner. Where is that going to get you? What are you accomplishing? Before you speak, say to yourself, what am I accomplishing by making this statement? Does it make me a tough figure? Does it make me somebody who everybody wants to be like if I'm going to go out and talk like this? No, it makes you an idiot. There's no reason for him to talk about how, Roger Goodell is going to do what he wants. He's going to make up rules as he goes along. I don't think he should be suspended. It doesn't matter what you think. It has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with your team. This is something, again, that caused negative attention to the Jets. These type of things need to be kept unsaid. There's no need for it. It brings no value to the Jets. None. And I'm sure Todd Bowles probably pulled him aside and said, look, man, I can't have you going out and bringing up discussions like this and making statements. It's not good for the team. If you're not going to talk about football, if you're not going to talk about yourself, don't talk about it. If you want to go out and talk to the media and say, yeah, we had a great day of practice today. You know, I went up against a couple guys. Keep it simple. Being controversial at this point, it does no good for anybody. I thought that was one thing that I found interesting, the comments made by Antonio Cromartie. Other than that, you know, you look at this camp, you look at the situation that everybody's in, and you have to be excited. You honestly have to be excited. You have to look at this team and see all of the pros. You know, we haven't heard too many cons. And you've heard mostly positives. You've heard a lot of positives about Antonio Allen. And then, of course, he was helped off the practice field by the Jets training staff. He reportedly has an injury. They said it was his Achilles. They don't know how serious that was of yet. Darren Walls, a good friend of the program, getting torched by Bryce Petty and Jonathan Rumpf, wide receiver. These are all the comments from today at training camp. The defense turned it up today. After the offense won the battle during Wednesday's practice on the goal line, the defense answered the challenge today. You know, linebacker Joe May said we came off a day that we weren't a full go yesterday after the practice. The offense wanted to challenge us and see how we were going to respond. I think that the guys came out and were being pros. We came out and responded well and did some good things out here on the field. Overall, I think everyone got better. So you're obviously seeing a lot of confidence. And then, of course, Darren Walls got the best of Bryce Petty and getting the revenge after the touchdown that he threw. So you're seeing a lot of confidence. You're seeing a lot of good things from the Jets camp. Is it going to turn into a team that's going to make us proud on the field? That's the next question. The young wide receivers, another great problem for the Jets to have. They got a lot of them. You got Owusu. You got Shaq Evans, who's impressing people. You got Devin Smith. You have a good group now, a very good group. This is going to be time for the Jets to really have a good pool of wide receivers that they can choose from. And this has been the thing in the past. The Jets haven't had a lot of wide receivers. You know, that has been one of their issues is depth at wide receiver. You wouldn't really know who's playing wide out because there's not a lot of guys that can produce in that position. So I think it's good. I think everything we've seen so far is good. We're going to take another quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about Geno Smith, his progress, and what else we can expect from him. Back after this.
You're listening to Jet Nation Radio.
Look, if you had one shot, one opportunity, seize everything you ever wanted, one moment, did you capture it? Just let it slip.
Yo,
his palms are sweaty.
Since the average attention span is now about 27 seconds thanks to ADD, ADHD, and bad TV, if you're a business of any kind, how do you reach your future clients? You need a marketing partner ready to implement those online strategies and properly target the right audience with the right information using the right media. You need the Strategic Peacock. From mobile to multimedia, the Strategic Peacock will enhance your online presence and help create potential growth. When you're ready to understand how the modern mind works, go to strategicpeacock.com and develop the right web strategy for you.
Strategicpeacock.com.
New music.
Are you an independent artist? Do you struggle with getting music out there without burning a hole in your pocket? The Indie Outbreak is the perfect radio show for you. Broadcasted around the world, heard by thousands of incredible fans, always on demand. You can be too. Interested in being part of the outbreak? Go to IndieOutbreak.com and click the Submit tab for details. Be part of the epidemic sweeping over the world. Indie Outbreak. IndieOutbreak.com.
Amazing.
What seems to be the problem?
I don't know, doctor. I just feel sick.
What have you been listening to recently?
I don't really know. Just whatever's on, I guess.
Seems to me like you have a serious case of bad music.
Am I gonna die? Is it contagious? Is it dangerous?
It can be dangerous. It can cause headaches, earaches, vomiting, nausea, and in extreme cases, even death.
Oh no! What should I do?
I'm going to prescribe to you 60 milligrams of Indie Outbreak. It'll help prevent bad music disease and will make your life better and worth living.
Thanks, Doc!
Anybody can be beat!
You're listening to the Brandon Dowling Show on Jet Nation Radio. Now here is your host, Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets.
And we are back off the break here on the Brandon Dowling Show. And number to call in is 646-716-4697. So let's talk a little bit about the running back position. Let's talk about Chris Ivory, who has now been getting a bulk of the carries and is the clear number one back of this football team. Obviously, he's trying to, you know, have his breakout year this year and really stand out in this league as a top running back. Chris Ivory came out and, you know, had a little interview with the media saying, right now I've done pretty much everything, and I just want to make them feel comfortable with me in there with everything that they have me doing in terms of what he's been doing offensively. Todd Bowles says he's had advertised. We knew he was tough and he could pound it up there. He cuts well and he's got good vision. He did come out and say he's going to have to become a better receiver. He has decent hands. He just needs to concentrate a little bit more. So obviously that's a sign that Chris Ivory could be seeing some passes out of the backfield. So this is very interesting to see how Chris Ivory can be utilized. But, I mean, the Jets have definitely some good depth at the running back position that's going to really kind of show a lot of competition. You know, when you look at the running backs that they have and you look at this team, you have to say to yourself, well, how many running backs are you going to carry? You know, you've got Chris Ivory, you've got Zach Stacy, you've got Blau Powell, and you've got Richardson. And then throw in Ridley into the mix. So, I mean, overall, the running back position is a tricky one for the Jets. Because you're not going to keep whatever it is, you know, five running backs on the team. That's not going to happen. Chris Ivory, obviously, is a lock. And then it's Powell, Stacy Richardson, and then obviously he's hurt right now, but Stephen Ridley. I think that the offense is going to be so complex, and they're going to try and do so many different things. You know, you have to look at the guys who can make plays catching the ball out of the running back position. You know, do you think Bilal Powell or Stephen Ridley is more useful with his catching ability out of the backfield? Because Chan Gailey likes to throw screens, likes to use the running back as a receiver. So if Chris Ivory is going to be your ground and pound guy and running the rock up the middle and, you know, being your bruiser, you're going to need somebody who has good hands to catch the football. So the running back position is a very interesting one for the Jets. Again, you look at it, you say it's a good problem to have. You have a lot of talented players, not enough spots. That's what training camp is all about. Me personally, every time it seems like I watch Bilal Powell and I see him come out of the backfield and make a catch, he's running for 20 yards. That's just my personal opinion. I like Powell, I like Ivory, and I would look at a guy like Stephen Ridley or Stacy as the third guy. Those would be the group of men that I would look at for the running back position. Again, it's not going to come down to talent. It's going to be who are going to be the extra guys on this team that fit Chan Gailey's scheme. What running backs are going to be best for what they want to do on the offensive side of the ball? Chris Ivory, they obviously want him to do a little bit of everything. They want him to catch the ball more. So I think that's an interesting tidbit. I think that's an interesting thing to throw in there is how is Chris Ivory to this offense? It's going to be a learning curve, and it's going to be a learning stretch for all the offensive players because you're learning a brand new offense. That's not a lot of cuss. This is when it's interesting. So, the key running back for the New York Jets. Is it free? Is it going to be a guy that we might not know about stepping up? It all happens with training camp. We now have on Jet Nation Radio, we are going to be joined by our own Glenn Naughton, who has been covering training camp for JetNation.com. Glenn, how are you?
Good, Brandon. How are you doing?
Good. So, all right, let's dive right into it. You've had first sight of the Jet training camp. You've been there a couple times. So let's, you know, what have you seen right with your own eyes in front of you that you've liked the most, and what have you seen that you think could use the most work?
Well, I think the thing that I liked that really jumped out today was the quarterback and wide receiver play. We saw quite a few really nice catches, specifically from second-year guy Quincy Enunwa, the receiver out of Nebraska who spent last year on the practice squad. He had a few really great grabs. He caught a deep ball from Fitzpatrick where the Cromartie's coverage was so tight, the officials that were there, they threw a flag for pass interference, but he still went up with Crow hanging off of him, grabbed the ball, came down hard and held on, probably the best catch of the day. Then a little bit later on in practice, he was matched up against Revis, and he made a nice leaping catch in the right corner of the back of the end zone. So Quincy and Unwin really stood out to me. Chris Owusu, of course, we've been seeing his name out there quite a bit. A speedster from Stanford, ran a sub 4.340 at his pro day, or combine rather, and he's a guy that he flashed a little bit at the end of last season. Some fans will remember he had a big touchdown run against Miami on an end around and a big kick return later in that game. As a matter of fact, while we were out there, I know that along the sidelines, I heard Mike Westhoff speaking very highly of him. So the staff and the media, they're really liking what they see out of this guy. And, you know, a lot of, as some fans may not be aware of, this is a guy who he was highly regarded from a pure talent standpoint, but unfortunately at Stanford, he suffered quite a few concussions as well as a serious wrist injury. So that kept him off the field. But when he was on the field, he was a very productive receiver for Stanford. And I overheard one scout, or sorry, not overheard. I was listening in on an interview with a scout on Sirius XM Radio a few weeks ago. Didn't catch his name, but he basically said that they weren't discussing Owusu. They were discussing concussions and how they take them into account when they're drafting. And Owusu was the guy he mentioned by name. He said, "Look, this kid out of Stanford, we loved him. We thought he was going to be a really good player, but he had, you know, 3-4 concussions, so we took him off our board." So a very talented guy, you know, again, really fast guy. So, you know, a guy with a lot of potential. So he looked really good. The quarterbacks were hit and miss, both of them. Gino looked good today. You know, he did some of the things that you want to see that don't have so much to do with his ability to throw the ball, but just good decision making. The DBs were doing a really nice job in 7-on-7s. Nobody was coming open for a few plays in a row, and Gino just Gino ate it. He ran out of bounds, didn't make a stupid mistake and try to force the ball in there. Had one play that looked like it broke down. It may have even been a design. I'm not sure. Some of my view was obstructed a little bit, but Gino took off running and had a big gain right up the middle. So just good decisions from Gino, not trying to force anything, not trying to do too much. I enjoyed watching Chan Gailey work with the offense. You know, there were a couple of plays in particular that he was running where he clearly, for whatever reason, whether the offense wasn't getting it or he wanted to reinforce it, he had them run it a few times essentially in slow motion, you know, and explaining to them, you know, basically the consequences of the routes. Like, if you run your route and you end here, the safety's going to go there. When he goes there, you do this. Just a lot of the technical stuff and breaking it down for the guys and then watching them run those plays several times over and, you know, a little bit faster each time. So you kind of got a feel for, you know, why Chan Gailey has the record he does, the track record he does of working with quarterbacks and getting the most out of them. Nothing really disappointing. The only thing that jumped out at me that was a little bit surprising was yesterday's practice, which was really physical. I mean, both days were pretty physical. There was some good hitting. Yesterday, specifically, though, when they tackled to the ground, they went full on. And on goal line drills, three or four of the first plays were the Chris Ivory on the first two went in untouched, and then Bilal Powell got in there on a run, and then there was another one, I believe, after that. So three or four times the running game, you just don't expect to see that against this defense. You know, you expect them to be able to win the battles up front. And Ivory today, again, had a few big runs. We saw a couple of nice runs by Bilal Powell. He had a nice catch and run yesterday. Jamari Lattimore stood out a little bit, a middle linebacker. He had what would have been a pick six yesterday on a pass over the middle. He jumped the route, took it down the left sideline. And then today, on a pass play over the middle, he made a nice lunging play where he dove across the middle and batted the ball out of the receiver's hand. So, you know, this is a backup guy they bring in from Green Bay who's probably going to play special teams if he's the guy who makes the final roster. But I thought he looked really good. So it was all very encouraging. Marcus Williams looked good. He had an interception to end practice today. Of course, the only downside being the Antonio Allen injury. I don't know if you've touched on that yet, but it was one of those cases. It was a non-contact thing. So I know myself, and I heard a couple of other reporters, we didn't even see it happen because, you know, you're looking up at the play, it's pre-snap. I looked down, you know, because I'm trying to tweet out stuff, you know, to Jet Nation followers, and I look down and start typing a tweet, and I look up, and everyone's in the same spot except Alan, who's laying on the ground. And I'm just like, oh, what, you know, and I heard a couple of reporters say, what happened? So he just started the fire out of his stance, and now we're hearing from Todd Bowles that it's likely an ACL, the severity of which is unknown, but, you know, it's rare that we hear about an ACL when it's not serious, so possibly season-ending injury for him, which is a big blow.
I mean, so much to touch on. Now, obviously, we've heard a lot of positives about Geno Smith, and everybody keeps talking about, you know, how Geno Smith has looked great, he's looked improved, he looked ready to go. I've said it time and time again that I am not jumping on any type of Geno Smith bandwagon until I see it in person on Sunday. So what do you make of Geno Smith, and what do you make of the players praising him? Do you think that it's just the players, you know, from what you've seen at camp, do you think it's just the players, you know, just jumping on the fact that he's the quarterback and he's the only option they have? Or do you really think that he's shown a lot of good signs and they really believe that he can be a decent quarterback if he puts the talent to the, you know, to his ability?
Well, I think I agree 100%. You know, especially this early in camp, everyone's going to be supportive of the guy. You know, it's a new season. The optimism is running high and everybody wants to do well. So you're not going to get anybody really commenting on his play in a negative way at this point. But there is definitely something to it. You know, he had a nice 25-yard touchdown pass yesterday to Eric Decker down the right sideline. He had another completion, I believe, I want to say it was to Amaro, probably 15, 20-yard completion yesterday over the middle, but it was a beautiful ball right between the safety and a linebacker, outstretched hands. You know, they just missed the deflection, so really a perfectly thrown ball. But I'm on board with you. You know, I remember calling in last year after one of the preseason games and saying, hey, let's give Geno his props. You know, he looks like a different guy, and he did look like a different guy.
Right.
So to your point, you know, this is something we've seen before. So it's the old, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. So this is what Jeff Van Zandt, me personally, it's great. You know, you have two alternatives coming out of camp. You can have reports saying he looks terrible, or you can have the report saying he looks better. Whether or not it manifests itself on the field, you want to hear him say he looks better, so that's good news. Again, he's making good throws. He appears to be making better decisions. But let's face it, you know, even when they go full speed in practice, it's still not the same as a game. So he's making plays, he's making good decisions on the field right now, but it's not going to be until, you know, I heard you talking earlier about, you know, when do the fans get impatient, when do they start booing. It's really not going to be until he starts facing some tough defenses. Because even early on, you know, I'll tell you, if they lose that Browns game, and that's just, to me, I can't see that happening. Because it's the equivalent of last year. It was, you know, it's the one game you look at, the opener against the Raiders. You're like, well, if we're going to win one game this year, that's the one. You know, and that's the way you feel with the Browns. It probably, you know, one of the only teams in the NFL with a more dicey quarterback situation than what the Jets have. So once once Geno gets on the field, if he plays well in the preseason, again, you take it with a grain of salt because he played really well last preseason. Then if he wins that first game or two, you know, week two obviously will be tougher because it'll, you know, you're going against the Colts, but the Colts don't have a great defense. So win or lose that game, Geno should produce. You know, because it's not only about Geno getting better. Fans are going to want to see it consistently. You know, it's not when you're in that year one, year two, fans can live with the fact that you're only flashing every couple weeks, every few weeks. You're learning, you're trying to put it together. That's behind him now. You know, I'm not saying he's going to go out and throw three, four, five touchdowns every week, but every week give your team a chance to win. And if he can do that, then the fans are going to be happy. And you know, what week three I believe is Philadelphia. And no one really knows what to expect from them with what Chip Kelly's done there. But their defense the last couple of years hasn't been that good. So I agree 100% with what you're saying. It's nobody should be getting overly excited about what they're hearing from Geno. It's encouraging to hear that, you know, by and large, you know, even some people who have been some of his harshest critics, myself included, you know. And it's not that I don't want Geno to succeed. I'm a Jets fan. I want him to go on to be a Pro Bowler. I want him to be great. But from what we've seen, you know, there hasn't been a lot of reason to believe that. So the early reports are good. The on-field performance is good. Like I said, the decision-making looked better. Saw some really nice throws from him. You know, we know he's got the arm strength. That's not an issue. So it's basically going to come down to that first quarter, you know, that first four or five games of the season. Is he going to come out and play well consistently? because preseason and week one against the Browns, that's all grain of salt stuff. That's nothing to write home about. So once they start playing tougher competition, if we start seeing him flourish, or even, again, how many times have we heard people say this year, they don't need him to be great. Just be adequate, because the defense should be. If the defense isn't great, then there's no reason they shouldn't be. But if they're not, then Geno, his performance isn't going to matter as much as it would if they do play as well as expected.
Exactly. Well, Glenn, thank you so much for joining us here on the show tonight. Thank you, obviously, for filling in last week as well. Keep up the great work and keep bringing us reports from Jets Camp.
My pleasure. Take care, Brandon.
All right. Thanks, Glenn. And that's all we have it for tonight on the Brandon Dowling Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to thank Glenn for calling in, giving us the update. Tonight on the Brandon Dowling Show on Jet Nation Radio. And remember, the sports talk never stops on Jet Nation Radio. It continues around the clock on JetNation.com. The forums are exploding every single day with new users talking to New York Jets, training camp, quarterback situations, wide receiving battles, running back battles, whatever you want to talk about, all New York Jets talk time on JetNation.com. Remember, the green and white is this Saturday at MetLife Stadium. Tickets are free. Parking lots open at 5 o'clock at MetLife Stadium for the Jets green and white scrimmage. Probably their biggest event of training camp this Saturday, 7 o'clock, MetLife Stadium. It's free. Check it out. Enjoy yourself. I want to thank you for tuning in, and we will see you next week.
Thank you for tuning in to the Brandon Dowling Show on Jet Nation Radio. And remember, you can hear us live every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time.